cotton prices and high input costs have made turning a profit a challenge for many cotton producers these days. In this current economic environment, it's more important than ever to make the most efficient use of any input that we bring into your production system. And three inputs that have seen their prices increase in recent years are irrigation, nitrogen fertilization, and seed cost. Irrigation costs are tied to energy costs and water rights fees. Nitrogen fertilization is made from natural gas, so it tends to follow the price for natural gas. And seed costs have increased due to ever-increasing technology fees associated with the various transgenic traits that are incorporated into the new varieties, and also due to the seed treatments that are consisting of fungicides, insecticides, and even nematicides these days. This talk we're looking at how varying nitrogen levels interact with varying seeding rates under both irrigated and dry land conditions. And we've conducted this study for the past 2 years. We had our experimental design was a randomized complete block design with a modified split plot treatment. The irrigation regimes were our main plots, and our nitrogen fertility levels were arranged factorially with our seeding rates. This all was replicated 6 times, and the cotton variety that we used was Delta Pine 1321 B2RF. I said we had our two moisture regimes, an irrigated dry land comparison, three nitrogen fertility levels. Zero, 50 pounds of nitrogen per acre, and 100 pounds of nitrogen, and here are their metric equivalents over here to the left. Four seeding rates, we had 1, 2, 3, and 4 plants per foot of row. These were 40-inch rows, so they gave us a plant population density of 13,000 plants per acre, 26, 39, and all the way up to 52,000 plants per acre. The data that we collected, dry matter partitioning data both early in the season and late around cutout, canopy light interception measurements, leaf chlorophyll measurements, lint yield and yield components, and also some fiber quality data. Now, our seeding rates did not interact with either the nitrogen fertility levels or irrigation treatments. Therefore, their means were averaged across nitrogen and irrigation. And subsequently, the nitrogen and irrigation means were averaged across the seeding rates. This is some of our dry matter partitioning data from our late dry matter harvest during around cutout. This is from 2013. Both irrigation and nitrogen application impacted our growth parameters. Irrigation increased our plant height approximately 30%, and the irrigated plants put out about 10% more main stem nodes, and increased the leaf area index approximately 40% relative to the dry land. However, in contrast, the dry land had about 17% greater specific leaf weight than did our irrigated plants. Nitrogen fertility, a high rate of nitrogen fertility increased our plant height approximately 20%. Those receiving high rates of nitrogen put out about 5% more main stem nodes and about 40% greater leaf area index. 2014, we encountered abundant rainfall that year, so we did not get an irrigation response to any of our growth parameters. The response to nitrogen fertility was similar to what we saw in 2013. Nitrogen fertility increased plant height approximately 10%, increased the number of main stem nodes about 10%. Leaf area index was increased about 125%. And we didn't see it in 2013, but the high rate of nitrogen fertility had about a 15% lower specific leaf weight than did our unfertilized treatment for that year. Looking at our seeding rate response here, we saw differences between our two dry matter harvests from the early and the late. Here at our early season dry matter harvest, we can see that our high seeding rate tended to have taller plants, about 20% taller in height, but almost a 200% increase in leaf area index going from our low seeding rate all the way up to our high seeding rate. Now, what's going on here is the plants here in these high seeding rates, they are experiencing interplant competition. So they're not receiving as much sunlight or fixing as much carbon as they would prefer. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to grow taller than their neighbor to intercept more sunlight and fix more carbon. The situation is completely reversed when we go to our late season dry matter harvest. And in that instance, our low seeding rate, the one plant per foot, tends to be taller. It's about 15% taller than our higher seeding rate. I think what's going on here is that our higher seeding rates have probably entered into cutout a little bit earlier than our low seeding rate, and the low seeding rate is continuing to grow vegetatively and add more height to it. Irrigation and nitrogen both impacted our leaf chlorophyll concentrations in both years. In fact, in 2014, leaf chlorophyll was the only physiological trait that we measured that was impacted by. Okay, you guys are really going to get sick with this. It was the only trait that was impacted by irrigation. Our dry land plots tended to have about a 15% larger leaf chlorophyll concentration than the irrigated. If you remember from my previous slide, the dry land plots have higher Pacific leaf weights. Therefore, we think we're getting a little bit of increased concentration of the photosynthetic apparatus per unit leaf area in those leaves. Going from the low, the unfertilized to the high end rate, we increased our leaf chlorophyll concentration about 45%. Seeding rate impact on leaf chlorophyll concentration had varied from one year to the next. It had no response whatsoever in 2013. 2014, the high seeding rate had about a 10% lower leaf concentration than did our low seeding rate. What I think is going on here is that the increased biomass with the high seeding rate would tend to dilute out the nitrogen over a greater tissue mass. That's my speculation on what's going on with that. Turning to next to our link yield and yield components from 2013. First off, 2013 was an extraordinary year for yield production in the Mississippi Delta. We had timely rains, low to moderate temperatures, and low insect infestation, and then I was able to produce the highest yields I've had during my career at Stoneville. We were able to miss enough rain that we did get an irrigation response, though, but the level of irrigation response and the level of nitrogen response depended upon the level of the other factor involved here. Now, first off, we have two LSD values for you to take a look at. This top LSD value is for comparing the different nitrogen fertility rates within an individual water regime. This bottom one is for comparing the individual water regime within an individual nitrogen fertility level here. First, let's look at the response for nitrogen fertility. When you went from the unfertilized treatment up to the high rate of nitrogen fertilization under the irrigated conditions, it was about twice as great as what we saw when we go from an unfertilized treatment up to our high nitrogen fertility treatment under dry land conditions. So to get the most efficient use of our nitrogen fertility treatments, we need to have irrigation. Next, let's take a look at our comparison between our dry land and irrigated conditions. If you'll notice here, when we did not put out nitrogen fertilization, we did not get a statistically significant increase in yield in response to irrigation. When we went with the high rate of nitrogen fertility, we increased our yield approximately 30%. So to get a yield response to irrigation under these conditions, we needed to have nitrogen fertility out there. The number of bulls produced per unit area was the principal yield component that explained the yield differences and interactions that we saw, although we did see that both nitrogen and irrigation increased our bull size. 2014, as I mentioned earlier, we call regular rains, so there was not an irrigation response that year for yield either. Saw a similar nitrogen response. Our high rate of nitrogen fertility increased our lint yields approximately 60% over the unfertilized. Number of bulls produced per unit area was the principal yield component involved. Looking at our seeding rate, 2013, three plants per foot seeding rate was the optimal seeding rate for that year. No difference between it and the four plants per foot. Both the two plants per foot and the one plant per foot had statistically significant yield reductions. Again, number of bulls produced per unit area was the principal yield component explaining our yield differences. We did tend to see a smaller bowl size as we went from the low to high seeding rate, however. Okay, 2014, more or less similar response. This year, no difference in yield between the two, three, and four plants per foot. The low seeding rate, one plant per foot, had a significantly lower yield than the other seeding rates. Again, bowl number pretty much explained our yield differences, and we continue to see the smaller bowl size with our higher seeding rates. No real big effect on fiber quality from this study. I just have data from 2014 for this year. We did see about a 2% increase in fiber strength in response to going from unfertilized to a higher rate of nitrogen fertility. Both irrigation and nitrogen fertility increased our fiber length approximately 2%, but none of the other traits were really impacted by anything. And these changes that I am talking about here in fiber quality are relatively minor. They're probably not going to push the quality of the fiber into either a premium or discount range one way or the other here, so it's not... For this particular year, the differences aren't that important. So to kind of conclude with this talk, both nitrogen and irrigation increased plant biomass and canopy light interception, although I didn't present any of the light interception data. The higher seeding rates were taller earlier, but that trend reversed itself, and they were actually shorter later in the growing season. Both nitrogen and dryland conditions increased leaf chlorophyll concentrations. Irrigation was only beneficial when nitrogen fertilization was applied. And to get the most efficient use of the nitrogen fertilization that you put out, you need to have ample soil moisture, presumably from irrigation. Three plants per foot seems to be the optimal seeding rate for yield. Most of our yield differences can be explained by the number of bulls produced and some minor fiber quality differences, but not that big. I think I may have a minute left here. I'll be happy to entertain any questions. Wayne.
Bill, how are you, as a physiologist, explaining 1,450 to 1,600 pounds of lint yield with no nitrogen?
The soils that we have there in the Mississippi Delta tend to have a pretty nice soil reserve of nitrogen in there. That year, the previous year that we on that field had been in corn, and so it may have been some reserve nitrogen left over from those higher nitrogen rates that you go with that. Other than that, I mean, it was like 2013 was just an extraordinary yield for lint yield production in the Mississippi Delta. And I wish, as a physiologist, I wish I could tell you what you can do to reproduce that every year, but I can't control the environment.
Well, as a soil fertility person, I can't explain it either.
Okay. Any other questions?